Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for tuning in. You are listening to Shell's 3 Cents, and I am your host, Michelle Murray. Feel free to join in the conversation today by calling in to 929-477-3667. I'll repeat that in case you didn't get it, 929-477-3667. You can also chime in on the chat. I'll have that going if you don't want to have your voice live on air, but we hope you join us. We hope you have questions. And today, I am super excited to be broadcasting a story from my hometown of El Paso, Texas. And speaking of El Paso, the weather is a mess for the next few days, much cooler than it usually is with plenty of rain. Today's high is only 57, and so you know that feels like winter to us in West Texas, so stay warm today. Some other interesting news for the region. It seems that space tourism dreams edge closer to reality right next door in New Mexico. Richard Branson announced on Friday that Virgin Galactic will immediately begin shifting operations from California to Spaceport America in the New Mexico desert in the final preparations for commercial flights. So keep an eye on this, folks, because it's not just something from the Jetsons anymore. Space travel seems like it's really going to be a thing in our lifetime. Also, something I found pretty interesting in the news, it seems that Facebook has classified the Bill of Rights as hate speech. What are your thoughts on that? I'm curious what everybody kind of thinks about that. And all opinions are valued. I want to hear from everybody. Because I'm curious what you all think. I'm a little curious on how we lost our sense of cohesion and community, preferring division instead. But I want to hear from you. Chime in and let me know what you all think. But what I can tell you is that some of us do, in fact, still believe not only in the Bill of Rights, but in the power of community. And my guest today is such a person. Danny Zamora is running for constable for District 2, and I'm excited to have him on the show today. Danny, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome, Michelle. It's a pleasure, and I'm excited just as well. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. I met Danny recently at a veterans breakfast I attended, and he has a lot of great things to say, so I'm excited to present you to my listeners. So tell us a little bit about yourself, Danny. What's your background, and what made you decide to run for constable?
Well, Michelle, first of all, I'm 58 years old. I come from a little town called Gooding, Idaho. It's about an hour south of Boise. I grew up on a little ranch. It's a little country town. I graduated high school from Idaho there. I joined the military. I needed something new in my life. As a young man, I graduated at 18. I wanted something, some adventurous stuff to do. So I joined the military, did my 20 years in the military. And I want to salute all veterans out there. Thanks for their service as well. Once I got here to Fort Bliss, I retired from the military. And while I was here, I met my beautiful wife of 28 years, Martha Zamora. Once I retired from the military, I went to work in immigration as a contractor, just setting up some appointments, you know, for people to become citizens in the United States. Mm-hmm. So I was helping with that. And then I did a small stint as a detention officer at the county jail downtown. I did there about 3 months. And then the El Paso Police Department called me up. And so I've been with them for 19 years now. It's been a wonderful department to work for. And the people here in the Northeast community are very loving, very caring, and they really appreciate the officers here in our community. And so I've been doing that for 19 years. I've got about a year to go before retirement. I also have 4 grown children, 5 grandchildren, and one great grandson. And I also have a daughter who still lives at home. She has Down syndrome. She's a handful in herself. That's probably why I don't have any hair left, as you can see in some of my pictures that I gave you. So, and what prompted me to run for constable, Michelle, is being a police officer for the last 19 years, and it's all been here in the Northeast, I see a lot of people coming to our station with civil issues that should be handled by the constable's office. Our police officers here in the Northeast, they're spread thin. They're in and out of calls. I think they get tied up too much on the civil side of things, you know, evictions, and being served with, you know, papers. They're always coming to our station to ask questions when that should be referred over to the constable's office. The other thing I'm seeing also is papers being served to people that they shouldn't be served to. In other words, in the state of Texas, anybody can, as long as you're over the age of 16, you can be served with papers, even though that individual may or may not live there. So you're just dropping off papers without asking for any identification. And I have an issue with that, being, you know, in a law enforcement background. So that's what prompted me to run for those constables. I want to try to change things by, you know, working closer with our police officers here in the Northeast, especially in the Northeast Regional Command. I think there's a disconnect between the constable's office and the police department here in the Northeast Regional Command. I want to try to fix that if I can.
Super, super. You know, a lot of times law enforcement, quite frankly, they don't have time to understand the causation of things. It's just about gaining control of an out-of-control situation. And then, you know, you let people go have their day in court, so to speak. So as constable, do you think you would be able to address some of the problems in your district at the deepest level by understanding causation of some of them?
Definitely. With my experience of 19 years, being on the streets for 18 and a half years, almost 19 years, I've gotten to know the community here. And it's just not about arresting people. There's an educational phase that needs to be given also. Like evictions, I believe that there's an underlying issue when it comes to evictions. You have to get to the root of the problem. Why are the people being evicted prior to you serving those papers? And the other thing we have too is our kids, and most important to me is our kids in the schools. Kids are dropping out of school. They're ditching schools. What is the reason for that? And then their parents are getting served to go to the constable's office because their child is not in school. Well, when has the constables gone and spoke with the schools and talked to these young kids and let them know that you have to have an education? And I think those are some of the issues that need to be addressed. People look at it. Matter of fact, I go around asking the community, do you know what a constable is? And I am very surprised that a lot of them don't even know what a constable does. And that's alarming to me.
No.
So when I explain to them that a constable is a law enforcement officer and he has full powers of arrest, it shocks them. But the main thing is educational and getting out and talking to our kids.
Education is definitely, definitely important no matter what you do in life, I think. That's the root of any kind of change or any kind of prosperity. So let me ask you this. What other strategies? So education is definitely a strategy you have. Do you have any other strategies to implement, you know, improvement or some kind of change in the district if you're elected?
Yes, I do. I want to meet with the Northeast Regional Administration, the Command Center's administration. And I want to see how we can help them alleviate some of the calls that go out to the police officers that are on this, like I mentioned before, more on the civil side. And I think that's something that if I get with the administration, I can fix that. I think those are things, even though there's only three deputy constables here in the Northeast, I need to look at that also, because we are a growing community here in the Northeast. We've got approximately 130,000 residents, and that's a whole lot of people for just three deputy constables. So I want to try to get a better working relationship with the administration here and the police officers in the Northeast, because they're stretched thin right now, and they do a tremendous job. But I think they can use some assistance from the constable's office when it comes to the civil side of things.
Absolutely. I agree. You know, it looks like we have a caller on the line that may like to ask you a question. Caller, are you there?
I'm here.
So we have you on the line with Mr. Zamora. So you had a question for him? Or multiple
sure.
questions
well,
for
hi,
him?
Sure. Well, hi, Mr. Zamora. My name's Wesley Lawrence. I own Save El Paso. It's a local organization here in El Paso. First off, I want to thank you for running to be a constable in the Northeast. I think it's important that we have qualified candidates that run for office, and your massive law enforcement background really is a breath of fresh air. So I want to start off by thanking you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It's an honor serving my community. It's not about me. It's about our community.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things that I think most elected officials should really start to stress. It's not about really the person who's in the job. It's about the community as a whole. And I'm glad you think that way. One of the first questions, I tuned in a little bit late, I wanted to ask you is, are you running as a Democrat or a Republican? And if so, which party, why?
I'm running as a Democrat. I switched over from a Republican about 8 years ago. I just didn't like the way that we were going. But I am running as a Democratic candidate on this side, as with my the incumbent, he's also a Democrat. I just believe in some of the things that the Democratic Party does compared to what the Republican side does or doesn't do. Both parties have good views, and I'm not going to, bash either party, but there's bad views and there's good views on both sides.
Absolutely, and actually, believe it or not, I'm actually in the same boat you are. I was a Republican for almost 16 years, and now I find myself moving more towards the Democratic side of the aisle. So I want to thank you for that. The second question I want to ask you is, I heard you say that we only have three constable officers here in Northeast El Paso, and you're correct. The Northeast is growing at an alarming rate. Really, the question would be, how do you plan to get more constables?
Well, I need to get in there. I know I was looking at their budget for 2019, and I know Jeremiah, who's the constable now, I know he's got a tough job on his hands because the budget is limited to like $350,000. So I need to get in there. I need to look at the budget and hoping that I can see what maybe I can trim. Keeping the fact that I need to provide security for the justice of the peace courts and also for the welfare of our citizens. So I don't want to cut us short on that. So I need to get in there, look at the budget, and see where I can go from there, see if there's maybe some things I can cut and hopefully get a couple more deputy constables in there.
Oh, I like that idea. That's a good thing to learn about. So one of the major questions I want to ask, it sounds like you're a well-qualified candidate. I think you've earned my vote. How can we in the Northeast community help you?
The biggest thing is when election time comes, get out there and vote, spread the word, and please I'm available, feel free to – I'm on social media. Just look up Danny Zamora, or you can email me, ZamoraDanny971@yahoo.com. And my biggest thing is just be supportive of me, get the word out there, and you'll be seeing a lot and hearing a lot of me here as the election comes closer. But just getting out and vote, I think that's the biggest thing, especially with our young kids. I'm actually been reaching out to them, telling them the importance of voting and letting their voice be heard. I've actually handed out some registration cards to some of our 19 to 20-year-olds, getting that, telling them why it's so important to get out there and vote. And that's what I need. I need for you guys and to get out there, vote, and spread the word.
Well, that's good to hear. Well, I look forward to helping you in any way that's possible.
I appreciate you. I appreciate you calling in, and thank you for the question. And please feel free to shoot me an email on any other questions and if I can be any assistance to you.
Absolutely.
Thank you for calling in.
And I'm so glad that the caller, I'm glad that Wesley brought up voting, because that brings me to another question I wanted to ask you. You know, a lot of time, particularly in that district, voters are accused of apathy, and rightfully so. Statistically, it's supported that there's a lot of voter apathy. So if you could talk to voters, because you're talking to them right now, What would you have to say about voter apathy? Why does their vote matter? Why should they get out to the polls? What would you tell them?
You know, it's important for them to get out and vote because, you know, if you want things to happen, if you want change to happen within a certain district, you've got to get out and vote. If you don't get out and vote, then it's not going to happen. Things are not going to happen. You've got to have an answer. If you've got questions and you're not getting the answers you need to send a message by getting out and vote. We do have a bad voting rate, you know, here in Northeast. And matter of fact, for maybe the city of El Paso, depending on what elections are coming up. So, you know, I just got to stress that, you know, it's important for their voices to be heard. And we're talking 18, 19, 20-year-olds. And people forget that's our future, okay? Mm-hmm. Those are our future. Those are our future constables. Those are our future chiefs of police. Those are our future city council. And who knows, maybe there's one of them that's going to be our next president. Who knows?
Absolutely. I absolutely agree with that. It breaks my heart when people have so much to say, but they never articulate it in the voting booth. You know, they chit-chat with each other, and I tell them, gossiping amongst yourselves or grumbling amongst yourselves, that does no good. You know, if you want to affect change, you got to go to that voting booth. You got to head to that voting booth and be heard. And with that, interact with people like you.
And you know what? I'm a very personable person. I can go up to the stranger on the streets and just start talking. I'm very approachable. My coworkers at work tell me I'm too nice sometimes, but you know, like I tell them, it's not about being nice. It's about understanding people and listening to what they have to say because their issue is important.
I absolutely agree. You know, and with that, I tell people, do your own research. You know, we live in an age where so much information is available just through Google, you know, as one point of entry for information. But let me ask you this. What if you could give everybody in your district access to one piece of information, one book, one news, whatever, what would you provide everybody in your community? What is it you wish they had access to?
More access to their leaders. I feel that once people are elected into office, leaders have a tendency to say, you know what, I don't have time for you. It's not so much about the books. It's not so much about papers. It's about having access to your leaders. And that's one thing that I want to make if I get elected, get into office. I'm going to set aside time frames and monthly meetings to meet with the citizens of the Northeast because I haven't, the 19 years I've been in, not one time have I seen a constable or a deputy constable come and talk to, you know, the police officers in the Northeast to see what they could help with or even going. I've been to events throughout the Northeast and I don't see the constables or the deputy constables you know, at some of these events, and it bothers me a little bit. They need to be more out there and address the concerns of the citizens because the constable is an elected position by the citizens, and he has to answer to the citizens that vote him in.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, not only, is, you know, people would accuse the constable of forgetting that, but I think citizens forget that as well. Citizens forget that, hey, we can require some accountability of these folks. So I think that's wonderful that you're putting a spotlight on that. And out of everything you say, you know, you're a very qualified candidate for that position. But if you had to convince my listeners of just one thing that makes you the perfect choice for constable or a culmination of things that make you that perfect choice, why should they go to the polls and give you their vote?
Number one, I bring leadership to the constable's office. My 20 years as a military veteran, taking troops over to the Middle East. And I had I had them in my, you know, their lives were in my hands. and I wanted to make sure that mm-hmm. I brought them back to their families. So my leadership, my experience on resolving issues, and also my experience as a hostage negotiator, and I think this really helped me out because, you know, and I'm not a hostage negotiator anymore. I'm an ex-hostage negotiator. I was with the city for about 3.5 years. But I think listening skills when I was a hostage negotiator is the most important thing, because if you're going to get something done in an elected position, you have to listen to the people that are voting for you. Now, you're not going to be able to fix everything, but you know what? You still got to attempt to do it. You just don't brush it off. So my leadership, my listening skills, and my ability to resolve issues that come upon myself or the consular office will be dealt with. And I think the most important thing is my commitment to the job.
Mhm. Mhm. That's definitely important.
I have.
So do you have?
I have a commitment.
Go ahead. Go.
I have a commitment to the citizens of Northeast, if elected, to the job that they have elected me to be in, and to get out there and hear their voice, and that's what I intend to do.
I love that. You know, recently there was a candidate that ran for Congress that had a contract with El Paso, and he felt so strongly about his platform that he put some things in writing and says, not only do I commit, like, I'm going to put it in contract form, I'm going to sign it, and I'm going to abide by these things if elected. So if you were to do such a thing, what would be the number one thing that you would put in that contract?
You know what? I think the number one thing that I would put in that contract is to commit myself to the best of my ability to make sure these citizens, our community, your community, gets the issues resolved by not only myself, but the deputy constables that are appointed also.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I would hold myself accountable for that. And you know what? Contracts are contracts. Sometimes they're a good thing and a bad thing, but you know what? It's what's coming from the heart. It's not always about paper.
Mm-hmm.
It's what your intentions are, and your reputation, what your reputation's running on.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That track record and reputation are important. You know, I listen to what people say, but I definitely am one who watches what they do. And I think many people are like that. I'm not the only one. So yeah, you're absolutely correct with that. So let me ask you, do you have any events coming up, any fundraisers, any volunteer activities, any speaking engagements, anything coming up that you'd like to tell my listeners about or invite them out to?
You know, not right now. I just finished up going to there was a little picnic on the east side. I didn't want to make it too much political on that side. It was the our hearing impaired had the deaf community had a picnic, and my wife and I and Henry and Dreda Young, we went out there and supported them because Dred is she's a big advocate for the hearing impaired. She's actually learning how to do sign language. So I went out there just to socialize, and I didn't want to make it a political issue because that's their time to intermingle with their community, and I just want to get out there and support them on their aspect, not on a political aspect. But I am working on some things coming up. I am working on volunteers. I do have some volunteers available to me now. I'm just, I'm slowly working on events coming up. I've actually been talking to groups. I know when we met at that breakfast, I had been talking mm-hmm. about three or four groups prior to that. So I've been invited to groups that I go and speak with. And on my crowdpack.com, I always update what I'm doing.
Oh, super. Okay, and say that again. So in case somebody missed it, it's crowdpack.com?
Yes, it's crowdpack.com. What it is, that's a Democratic platform. What I do is that's where all my donations are coming into. My donations can come through there. And plus, I have my story on there. And then any update events that I go to or what I'm doing, I go to that and I update that. And everybody that's donated through that platform, they automatically get an email saying what I've done. Like today when I was coming on with you, This was one of the things that I put on that platform. So my people that donated were able to tune in out as well.
Oh, super. Okay, and
yeah,
is that the only platform you have?
Mm-hmm. All you got to do is go, if you Google Zamora for Constable, it comes right up, and it takes you right to that platform for the donations.
Okay, super. And so for the people who aren't quite ready to donate, but they want to check you out and kind of keep up with some of your things, is that the only platform you have, or do you have some sort of social media?
I have all sorts of social media. Matter of fact, my son Chris just helped me probably about a month ago with my Instagram, because I didn't find the Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
So he showed me how to do that, and then I have Twitter, and I also have Facebook also. So I have those three platforms available.
Super.
All
right.
I want to keep up with it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah,
ahead,
I'm
Michelle.
Looking at I'm looking at the chat, and I do see I've got three people that are interested in keeping up with you. So definitely, I look forward to seeing some of your activities in the community and keeping up with your progress and different things that you do, you know, for that segment of town. I'm a veteran myself. Fort Bliss is in that area. So, you know, I'm always looking to make sure that area represents well, I guess, if you will. But thank you so much for coming on today. And again, I look forward to interacting with you again. And, you know, and I wish you the best in the upcoming election.
Thank you, Michelle. And I want to thank, more importantly, the people that are listening, because those are the ones that are going to go out. It's just not about the money and the donations. It's about getting out there and voting. So, again, I want to thank you personally, and more important, the listeners that are listening in. And I wish you a good weekend, and be safe out there, Michelle.
Absolutely. Right back to you. Thanks so much. Have a good one.
All right, Michelle. Bye-bye.